works out everything.
Now, Sister Charlotte and Brother Blair hasn't been able to be here the last few weeks that we've been doing the study or series on ups. And I want to preach this morning on look up. Now, you'll understand what I'm saying when we get into the message. But a lot of time, Brother Buck will teach something in Sunday school, then I preach something and people say they must have got together. That's not it. What it should say to us is God's trying to say something directly to me. And so here today, she sung that song and it talked about, do you know that you're saved? I'm going to deal with that in the message today. But she then sung about him coming back. And that's what this whole series has been about, is getting people ready to go home to be with the Lord forever and ever. And it's just like the songwriter said, we don't know when he's coming. You don't know, I don't know, but I do know this. I know that he's coming, and that's what's important. But take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 21. We're only going to read one verse this morning in Luke chapter 21, and we're going to read verse number 28. Now, I want to ask you to do something for me. I've never said this before, but it's become a distraction. People have come to me about it. I want you to turn your cell phones off or put them on mute something instead of sitting there looking at your cell phones and playing games and different things. I said this morning we're here to worship. And so I know some of you say, well, I've got something that may come in an emergency. Put it on vibration. But don't be sitting there holding it and looking at it and paying attention to it instead of the Word of God. I had a church the other day. I liked it. They have their things on the wall, the computer, and it says, silence is golden. Shut your cell phones off. You can get by an hour without that phone. I'm not going to preach an hour, but you can get by without them, okay? But now Luke chapter 21 and verse 28, and the Bible said, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the day that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for the very Spirit of God. Lord, what a joy it is to come to the house of God. But Father, it's even an exceeding joy when we get to the house of God and the Spirit of God is here amongst us. And Lord, I pray now today that you will use this message to honor and glorify thyself. I'm grateful for the songs that have been sung. Lord, I'm grateful that we know a man who's able to do all things. But Lord, I'm grateful also that we can know that we know that we know that our name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Lord, I pray, help us to walk in a lifestyle, Lord, that prepares us for your coming. Now, Lord, honor and glorify yourself here today. I pray remove all distractions. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to all pay attention and get what God has for us. Lord, I pray for those that are lost. God, that the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, would convict them of their sin. They'd see their need of a Savior and come to Christ. Now, Lord, do your will, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I stated, I want to preach on look up. Now, we're going to finish this up probably tonight. I'm not going to get it finished this morning, I don't believe. But in our study, we have looked at six ups. We began the study with wake up. This was to help us to realize the imminent return of Jesus Christ for the church. And when we say for the church, we mean for the believers, the followers of Christ. This could happen anytime. Then we looked at cleanup. That was to allow God to cleanse us from anything in our lives that does not glorify Him. Then came grow up. And grow up was accepting God's will and direction for our lives. And next came stand up. That was to stand up against the wiles and the evils of Satan. Then we looked at get up. That had to do with going out into the world, getting up and getting out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we looked last week at cheer up. I said earlier, it's time that we live above and beyond the attack of discouragement and despondency. It's time to move on out of those two mindsets. But today I want us to look up. And as we read here, Luke pinned down and said, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And what this has to do with is our redemption, our Redeemer is coming and coming soon. When it talks about our redemption, well, it's not talking about our redemption of salvation. It's talking about our redemption from this world and our graduation to our new home. Now, the Bible speaks much about the return of Jesus Christ. And He's coming to get His bride, the church, not a building, but His people. God's not concerned about these four walls and the roof and the steeple. What God is concerned about is me and you allowing Him to direct our lives and to use us and to glorify Himself. Now He's coming, and He's coming soon. And you say, but I've heard that all my life. Well, that just makes us one day closer than we were yesterday. But I tell you what, I want to be found faithful in the Lord's work. But notice what the Bible said about His coming. Now, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 10 and 11, Jesus has been, He's died, He's resurrected, He spent time with the disciples, and now as He stands there with His disciples, the Bible said that He ascends back into heaven. But notice how Luke wrote it in Acts 1, verses 10 and 11. And while they stood, or while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Now notice some things about this verse. They asked Him, said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Now when I talk about look up, I'm not talking about just standing around looking into heaven. I'm talking about the heart condition looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. We talk about it, we preach about it, we sing about it, but I really wonder how much we really think about it. Why stand you here gazing? Why you stand here wasting time? He said, this same Jesus, Jesus is not sending back an angel. He's not sending back one of the apostles. The bride is His, and He's coming for His bride. He's coming back, and He said, He's coming that was taken from you. He shall so come in like manner as you see Him go into heaven. Matthew 24:36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 42 says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44 says, therefore be ye also ready. Now that's where I said the song ties into it. Are you saved? Are you ready? There is a difference. You can be saved and not ready for his coming. If you're not saved, you're definitely not ready for his coming. But there are a lot of people that are saved that are not ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. It's just like, you know, you got company coming, and they're coming to eat a meal with you, but you're dallying around and you're dragging around. You've not prepared any food. They're coming expecting to eat, and they get there and there's nothing ready. You made the invitation. You knew they were coming. You were at home, but you were not ready. And that's the way a lot of people are today, whether they're saved or not saved. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I mean, there's people not even thinking about it. I'm talking about saved people. Why is it so important to look up and be ready? It said in 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The thief does not send you a notification he's coming to break in your house. But the coming's going to be as a thief in the night. Now, here's the message. It's time to be ready. It's time to get ready. Now, as I said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. There's not going to be a news flash. There's not going to be a breaking news alert. Now, I've heard preachers say, well, there'll be a news flash after it. That when it's over, they're going to say, well, I wonder where all of the millions of people went to. But there's not going to be a news alert. There's not going to be a news flash that says, hey, you that are not ready for the coming of the Lord, you better get ready. In 12 hours, 26 minutes, and 32 seconds, the Lord's coming. That is not going to happen. People say, well, I'll get ready just before he comes. No, you won't. You don't know when he's coming. There's not going to be a news flash. There's not going to be news alert. Notice what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52 says. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. And that word mystery means that God's plan that they did not fully understand. Paul said, I want to show you something. He said, we shall not all sleep. That word sleep talks about death physically. We're not all going to die before the Lord comes. There are going to be people alive and well on the face of the earth when the Lord comes. There could be some right here today that are going to be here when the Lord comes. That's how imminent the return of the Lord is. That's how soon it could happen. But he said we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Notice how quick it's going to happen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. They say a twinkling is faster than a blink. So what Paul's saying is, quicker than that, we're gone. Quicker than that, he comes and gets his bride. Now, he's not coming all the way back to the earth that time. But it said, we, in a moment, in twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I'm saying to you, it's time to get ready. The only thing between God sending Christ back is for the trump to sound. That's it. There's no other prophecy that I know of has to happen. That's how close we are. I was trying to think when I was studying. If I had somebody with a trumpet, I'd have had them blow it about the time that I said that. We were in a singing one night, and there's a brother group there. And that's when the song, "He's Coming Soon," was at the top of the chart. And they came in, and they were beginning to sing that. And all of a sudden, he sounded out that trumpet. You should have been there. I mean, there was people about broke their necks. I mean, they thought, whoa, it's happened. I mean, they were some there thought, oh, I missed it. Others saying, shoot, it didn't happen. I mean, I wish it had. But what I'm saying is, that's how quick it's going to happen. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So I say to you today, look up. You need to get ready. I want to talk first of all to the believer, the redeemed. I said there's people that are saved that are not ready. You are not ready if you're living in sin today. Don't come to me and say, I'm ready for the Lord to come. Because if you do, I'm going to be real polite and I'm going to say, you're not telling the truth. Catch me in a good mood because I might say it more plainly than that. But you're not ready if you're living a life of self-will. You're living a life of self-lust. You're not living for God. You're not devoted to God. You're not excited about God. You're not sincere about God. I mean, notice what the Bible said to the believer in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Said, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Now, I want you to notice who said this. It said, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Not the preacher. It's not the deacons. It's not the Sunday school teachers. The Lord's saying to you that are saved, get out of the world and get the world out of you. The Lord said that. And he didn't say it just to preachers. He said it to everyone that's saved by the grace of God. Come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That unclean thing is any part of sin. Notice what separation means. Separation in the scripture is twofold. It's from whatever is contrary to the mind of God. And it's also unto God himself submission. Twofold. One is from. It means come away from. Get rid of it. Stay away from it. Refuse it. That which is contrary to the mind of God. And let me say this. There is not a sin that the devil has invented or man is doing that is not contrary to the mind of God. God's mind does not say any sin, no matter how small, no matter how large, no matter how white, no matter how black, is right. All sin is contrary to the mind of God, and that's part of separation, is come away from it. Leave it alone. Don't get involved in it. Don't play around with it. Don't say, I can handle it, because you can't. You know why you're as far into sin today? Because sin handles you. You don't handle sin. But it means to come from anything that's contrary to the mind of God. But then the second part to the believer is that separation means to come unto God himself, submission. There are a lot of people hate that word. They hate submission. They hate dedication. Because you know why? You have to give up your self-will. You have to give up what you want. You have to put somebody else in your place. So when we talk about submission, people say, not me. You have at it, preacher. I'll back you. It may be 20 miles down the road. It may be every fifth Sunday. It may be every 4, 5, or 6 months. But I promise you, preacher, I'll back you. That's not what God said. God said to separate unto him. Now here's what happens a lot of times. You have people that will separate from anything and everything that's contrary to the mind of God. But they never separate unto God. You know what they become? They become self-righteous. They become almighty. They're these people that look over everybody else and say, they're not doing it right. They're not doing it the way I do it. And they're so self-righteous. But you know what happens most of the time? And I've seen this happen in preachers. I've seen it happen in individuals. Eventually, the next thing you hear about them is they're involved in everything they stood against. I've watched this in preachers especially. They never separate unto God, but it's all about, look how holy and righteous I am. And the next thing you hear, they've run off from their wife and they're shacked up with somebody. They've done this or they've done that. And you think, man, they stood against that. They did in their own power, but your power and my power will not keep us. We have to separate unto God and allow God to be the one that controls us, the one that teaches us what's right and what's wrong. And let me say this to you. God's going to give you some convictions. And by that I mean God's going to say to you, that's wrong. But this person may do it. And if you're not careful, you get self-righteous and say they're not right. God put some personal convictions in our life because you and I can't handle it. So God said, I just keep you away from it. If I experience it, it may get the best of me. Like I read a testimony of a guy that he was saved. He was an alcoholic. He was a drunk before he got saved. And he said after he got saved, when he would start down the road, and there was a liquor store, there was a bar there, he would cross the street. He said, I was not going to tempt myself walking past that place because I wasn't sure that I was completely over it. So what did he do? He separated himself from the very thing that he thought would be his downfall. There's some things that you may like that God does not want you doing them because they will hurt your testimony. Not only did he say the believer come out, he said abhorred. What that simply means is hate extremely. Not just hate it. Not just dislike it. But it means to hate it extremely. Hate it with a passion. It means to detest it. That ought to be our approach to sin. Let me put this insert in, then I'm going to read the rest of that verse. I am 100% for the Freedom Act bill that is on Governor Deal's desk. I know the Falcons and the Braves and the Hawks and Coca-Cola, AT&T, and a bunch of big companies said, you better not pass that. It'll hurt us in economy. Our economy will suffer millions of dollars of loss. But they let the gays, the homosexuals, the lesbians stand right on the courthouse steps and lock lip to lip, arm in arm, and allow them to get married. And they say, You know what? That shouldn't affect you that don't like it. Let me tell you, I hate it extremely. I detest it. I say it's wrong based upon the Word of God. And if you don't approach sin that way, you got a problem. I don't care if it's something you like or don't like. I say pass the bill, God will honor us. But he said they're extremely hated, detest, abhorred that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. You better get a hold of this right here and hold on to it. It's time to get ready. You say, well, I'm just not going to be like you. That's okay. But when your kids get involved in sin, don't come ask me what happened. When somebody walks up to you and says, you're not right, don't get mad at them. Just accept the fact that you didn't stand against it. And be ready when you get to judgment for God to say, hey, you did this, and it was wrong. Then it said to abstain in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from the very appearance of all evil. I said earlier, there's some things that I don't really feel like is wrong, but I don't do them. Because some people, the appearance of that leads to sin. I want to stay clean of the very appearance. I don't even want to give anybody the very vague thought that he's involved in sin. You'd be surprised. Sunday mornings, a lot of times, I come in here and pick up beer cans. I don't put them in our trash can. You say, why? Because I don't want the guard man thinking that we think drinking beer is right, because it's not. You say, I drink it, it's still not right. But I just want to stay, I want to stay away from it. I want to stay away from it. So what I do, I put it in my vehicle, I put it in a bag, put it in my vehicle, and I'll take it to a dumpster somewhere and throw it away. I don't put it in my personal trash can because I don't want the trash man to think he drinks. I want to abstain from the very appearance. What we got to do, we can't dress like the world unless we want people to think we're of the world. We can't talk like the world unless we want people to think we're of the world. We can't walk like the world. We can't do the things of the world. We've got to abstain. We got to stay away from. We've got to shun from all appearance of evil. When I was working, they said, we need you to set up the bar. I said, I don't do that. They said, why not? I said, because people think I'm part of it. We had what they called friend hour or happy hour, whatever it was. And they gathered together at 5 o'clock. Our meeting started at 7. And for 2 hours, all they did was drink, drink, drink. And then after the meeting was over, they had a room that had hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars of liquor. And I thought, what in the world is wrong with you guys? And so one day somebody said, you didn't come to happy hour. I said, I didn't come and I won't come. I don't take part in it. But there's somebody in the meeting there said, hey, he never has, he never will. What are you doing? I'm abstaining from it. What if I went there and I got a Coca-Cola? You know what people would say? I wonder what he's got mixed in that. So you know what I did? I got me an extra Coca-Cola at lunch and took it to my room. And I didn't come until that hour was over. Abstain. Stay away from it. Don't give anybody any kind of reason to say you're not living right. Abstain from it. It's time to clean up. It's time to step up. Notice what the Bible says about that. Romans 12:1 says, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It is time. Remember, we're getting ready. Getting ready for the coming of the Lord. So it's time to step up and take your position and say, God, this is what you want in my life. Here my life is. Use it for your glory. He said, a living, not a dying. He said, I want you to live for me. Time for you to step up. Quit living back in the background. People say, well, I don't want to be out in the limelight. Maybe God wants you in the limelight. Maybe it's time you go, here I am. God, do what you want to do. I know we got people that does more than you ever think they do that wants no praise for it. I can understand that. But I struggle with it because I like to give people credit. But it's time to step up. It's time to quit waiting for everybody else to do it. There's certain people I go to them because I know they'll do it, and I hate to keep going to the same people over and over. But present your body as a living. All he is saying, God, here I am. Do with me what you want to do. Put me where you want me to be, and you work in my life the way you want to work in it. Then not only that, notice the word in 1 Kings 8:61. It said, let your heart therefore be perfect. With the Lord our God to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. You say that's Old Testament. That's okay. I brought it over into our time. Same way it meant for them. Let your heart therefore be perfect. Let me tell you what that word means. It means wholeheartedness. Wholeheartedness for God. Single-mindedness. Sincerity. Not sinless perfection. It's time that we step up and do what we do for God with our whole heart. There are so many people playing. They're dabbling. They're just kind of messing around with it. They're like sticking their finger in a mud hole, but they don't want to get their whole finger dirty, so they just put the tip of it there. That's what a lot of people are doing with their work with God, their life. They don't want their whole life to get involved. If I get completely involved, preacher, I got to change. Amen. If I get totally involved, there are some things I'm doing now I can't do. Yes! You're right. But those things that you are doing that's keeping you from being wholeheartedly, single-mindedness, sincere to God is those things that are keeping you from being ready for the Lord to come. There shouldn't be anything that you're doing that if I did it, you'd get mad at me about. There's nothing you're doing that if I was to do it, that you would use an excuse not to come hear me preach. But if I'm doing some things you're doing, half this, more than that, I'd say 99% of people, I might get my wife to come. No, she'd kill me. See, what I'm saying is, he's not just saying to the preacher and the pastor, you got to be wholeheartedly involved in it. No, he's saying to every child of God, you got to be wholeheartedly given to it. Brother Robert's got to be wholeheartedly to coming and playing the piano. Brother George's got to be wholeheartedly playing the guitar. Brother Tommy's got to be wholeheartedly playing the organ. Choir's got to be wholeheartedly singing. That song today, man, I tell you what, you may not have felt the chill bumps of heaven, but I did. I'm telling you today, we need to come to a place in our life and to take 1 Kings 8:61 and let our hearts be perfect in wholeheartedness, singleness, mindedness, sincere, devoted, committed. Time to step up. Notice the words David spoke to his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles 8:29. This is what he said to Solomon. Know thou the Lord, or know thou the God of thy father. You know what I've tried to teach my kids? I want them to know the God that I serve. I want them to believe in the Jesus that I believe in. Why? Because I serve the God of the Bible. I put my trust and my faith in Jesus of the Word of God. I want them to know that. David said, know thou the God of thy father. Don't give your children the right to choose what they're to believe. You say, you're a dictator. No, I'm not. I'm a person that just believes in emphasizing what's right. We had the children's home, Brenda and I did, back in the 80s. And the state sent us notice. And they said, you got to put a cigarette machine in your home for your kids to smoke if they want to smoke. I said, pfft. You said that wasn't nice. I could have said something else and it wouldn't have been nice. And then they told us, if your children in that home want to go to a church separate from the church you go to, you got to take them. And I went, I fed them. I clothed them through churches. I took care of them. I trained them. I taught them. And you know what I did? I said, you're not smoking and you're going to church with me. That's what I said. You said, I wouldn't want to be in your home. It's okay. But you know what? Every child that came to that home, but maybe two, got saved by the grace of God while they were there. I'm telling you, you better get your kids to God. But he said, Solomon, know the Lord, God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart. There you go back to that wholeheartedness for God, that single-mindedness, that sincerity. He said, Solomon, I want you to serve him wholeheartedly. And why Solomon did that? God blessed Solomon. But Solomon got away from that and got involved in sin, took all of the women on, and built them groves for them to worship their idols in. And you know what God did? God took the kingdom, part of the kingdom, away from David's family and gave it to somebody else. He said, serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Now, a willing mind is not this. Well, I'm going to do it, but I really don't want to. Let me tell you something, and this may sound ugly and mean, and I don't mean for it to. You don't want to do it, don't do it. That's just the way I feel about it. You don't want to do it, don't do it. If you're not doing it willingly, we talk about cheerful givers. We need cheerful servers. But he said, do it with a willing heart. I don't preach because I have to preach. I preach because God called me to preach, and you may not know this. I like to preach. Some of you are smiling. You knew that. I love it. I could have a different man in this pulpit about every Sunday. I have people call me and say, can I come preach? And I said, not this Sunday. I mean, one of my heroes, Brother Leroy, called me a few weeks ago and he said, I'll come preach for you Sunday if you want me to. I said, no, I already got my message. Don't need you. What are you saying? God put the preach in there and I want the preach to come out. I do it willingly. I love it. I tell you what, I love to preach as much as I love to eat, and you can tell I love to eat. But he said, do it with a willing heart. For the Lord, now listen to this, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. You may fool some people, some of the time, but you're not going to fool all the people all the time. You may get up here and sing, or you may do something else, and inside you don't want to do it, and you may fool people for a while, but you know what? Sooner or later, the truth's going to come out. But you know what? God already knows you didn't want to do it. And so God don't bless. We did that song this morning. I told him we were doing that song for Gary, one of Gary's favorites. We did it. We wanted to be a blessing to him. We wanted to help him. Tell you what, he's a blessing to me. He helps me. When I need encouragement, I just look at Brother Gary. Some of you are frowning, I look at him. But what I'm saying is, it's time to clean up. Then let me finish this up. Not only is it time to get ready for the believer, it's time to get ready for the lost sinner, the unsaved. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, now listen to this, except that leaves out any way, other way, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't say, you can be born again or you can do whatever you want to do. That's not what he said, except there is no other way. If you either get saved or you go to hell, that's that simple. It sounds harsh, but it's true. You're either going to come God's way or God's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. It said in verse 7, marvel not. Don't be amazed. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. When my mama said to me, you must do this, you know what that said to me? You better get it done or else. You know what God's saying? You'll either get saved or you'll spend eternity apart from God. The Bible said in John chapter 3, and God's not a God of hate, but he's a God of sincerity. He's a God of honesty, God of integrity. He said in John 3:16, said, for God so loved the world. That's you. That's me. That's the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son the world to condemn the world. God didn't send Jesus here to send us to hell. He sent him here to keep us from going to hell. We were already on our way to hell. You're on your way to hell if you're not saved. He didn't come to send you to hell. He came to keep you from going to hell. For God sent not his Son the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Said, he that believeth not is condemned already. He is not condemning you. Somebody told me one time, said, if you didn't go to Mexico and preach to those Indians, they wouldn't go to hell. But you go down there and preach and you condemn them. I said, no, I didn't. No, I'm not. Their sin condemned. They're already on their way to hell. I'm just there trying to be a bridge between them and God. I want the gospel heard that they can be saved. I say to you today, if you're not saved and you die in your condition, you are going to hell. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you. Then they use the word nay. That's as strong as no. Be like us saying to our kids, no, no, no. He said, nay. But except, there's that word again, ye repent. What is repentance? Repentance is admitting you're a sinner, admitting you're lost, admitting you're on your way to hell, asking God for forgiveness and cleanness and salvation. And it's not going this way. It's going this way, completely away from what you repented of. There are a lot of people that have said, I repented of my sin, but they didn't really repent. They confessed because they got caught. I confessed a lot of things to my mama after she caught me. But repentance is coming and admitting, hey, I did it. I'm the guilty one. And turning away from it. He said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Brother Robert, musicians come, please. I want you to play just as I am. I said to the believer, you're here today, you're saved, but you're not ready. You better get ready. Today could be the day. He's going to come as a thief in the night. The other day on the news, these three crooks, and crooks get caught by dumb things. These, I think it was three people broke into a house, and there's a girl at home. She hid behind her bed, and she called her stepdad. Is at work. Her stepdad called 911. The police came out there. They were gone. She didn't know this coming, but the next surprise was even more. She was in a room and she heard them coming again. You're talking about stupid. These crooks had already been there one time and they decided they'd go back and get what they didn't get the first time. You know what? That's what a lot of lost people are doing. They're playing the stupid part. Oh, I'll just do it one more day. That might be the day the Lord comes. Those that are saved are not living for God said, oh, my God, such a loving God. And he is. But he's also a just God. God will judge sin. So I'm saying to you, are you ready? Are you ready for him to come? I'm not talking about are you just saved. I'm talking about are you ready? Would you be willing to say, I am, I hope God comes today. Everything in my life is okay. Then I say to you, are you looking? Is your heart living the way it should? Notice what Titus 2:11 said. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Zay is a good work. God wants us to be different. Let's stand. I ask you to come right now. Don't wait. The longer you wait, the longer you give the devil an opportunity to convince you not to come. Come right now.